You're listening to Party Nerds Weekly.
What's going on, guys? Party Nerds in the house. Listen, so much is going on right now. Obviously, The Mandalorian Season 2 has not been disappointing. It's been fire. I mean, it's normally whenever you have a second season, normally shows just kind of progressively get worse. Honestly, I think this is setting up to be even better than the first season. I mean, y'all agree with that?
I agree.
Oh, absolutely. The amount of stuff that they're putting in, the reveal of the Dark Troopers, the call to like Snoke, bringing in why the child, like why they were actually seeking the child, but still leaving like little bits of mystery. Mm-hmm. Like they're doing such a good job with it.
Yeah, man, come on. We haven't even seen Moff Gideon even use the Necrosword? Is that what it's called?
Darksaber.
I call it the Necrosword because I'm thinking of fucking King in Black and Null and shit. I'm thinking of Marvel and everything. But we haven't even seen the Darksaber get used. And the fact that the integration between that and Clone Wars is actually like happening. Fuck Star Wars cinematically, but the fact that it's integrated with Clone Wars has made it that much better of a series.
But wait, isn't it kind of frustrating too, now that you see how good the series is with Jon Favreau and Dave Filoni? It's like, just imagine if they were the ones that would have did the new prequels. How much better, or not the prequels, I'm sorry, the ones with Rey and Finn. How much better would these movies have been?
It wouldn't have been a trilogy. It wouldn't have been a trilogy. There'd be way more. Like they'd be so good that there would be more than three. There would be probably have to go to like six or seven.
Well, there's another thing that a lot of people forget. Now, listen, I'm not a fan of the sequels in any way, shape, or form. This is not a defense of them in any way. But a lot of people always forget that the movies that Star Wars produce, they're upheld by all of the things that come in the background. Like all of the books that came out when the first Star Wars movies were out, all of the comics, all of the toys, all of the little information that was on that. And then when the prequels came out, we were getting TV series and stuff like that, along with comics and all of the other stuff as well,
right.
Video games. But we were seeing all of that stuff. With the sequels, what series could come out with that? Like the Mandalorian takes place around that time, but realistically, there wasn't any TV series coming out, like Clone Wars or Rebels or anything like
right.
that. There's nothing set in that time.
Mm-hmm.
And they're doing a phenomenal job. But like, and by the way, guys, because I didn't introduce you now, we got Bravo with the beard. What's up, Bravo?
It's me. I have a beard. It's here.
And by the way, Bravo, how you feeling? Because you got the COVID. Team COVID.
Oh, no.
Blow him up like that.
We got the negative results. We didn't have it. So, you know, thank God. We did just go get tested for antibodies to see if we had it at any certain point, because we definitely had, me and my fiance definitely had something. We were not doing well, but no fevers or loss of taste or anything like that. So
might have just been the common flu, common cold.
It could have been, but you know, we'll see. Hopefully the antibody test comes back and says we have it, and then I don't have to worry about anything for at least 3 months.
Well, glad you're okay, man. And James, by the way, if you guys don't know, and I'm going to say this now before we get into the topic we're here for, James, your show premieres, what's it called?
It's called The Facts Project. It's debuting on Friday. I'm going to release two episodes on Black Friday.
Damn, bangers.
Yeah.
Real quick, just tell us, what is The Facts Project? What is going to center on?
It's an interview journal, basically, through the encompass of all the Instagram lives that I've went through with a lot of independent comic book creators. It's pretty much enabling the concept of nerd culture within people that you wouldn't necessarily recognize that they would have it in. So I got a few dope interviews already done with Il Brown from Noir Caesar, DJ Ross One, and also Denon Porter, who's a friend of the show. You know what I'm saying? So Denon Porter from D12, who I just did last night. I'll be showcasing his podcast probably like in a week. But yeah, I'm going to release two, and then the next one's going to pop up, and then I got a few more on the way.
Well, that's awesome, man. We super hype about that. And we got Jorge, the man about to get married, you know, at the controls. Mm-hmm. How's it feel, man?
Just waiting for you guys to fuck up so I can use that to my advantage on the editing floor,
that's,
you know?
That's right.
No more drinks for me.
No more drinks. Go ahead.
You guys got to watch the last episode to know the reference. All right. So, guys, getting into it, as we were talking about The Mandalorian, there's no show or no topic that can't come without controversy.
Right.
As you guys know, Gina Carano's character came back this season, her and Carl Weathers. What's her character's name on Mandalorian? Well, so
I'm not saying I'll let you guys answer something this time.
Answer a problem, damn it.
That's why you're here. So anyway, long story short, everyone has been upset at Gina because outside of her role on The Mandalorian, she was going on Twitter and other social media platforms pretty much expressing how much she's not a fan of these masks. Now, people have been getting on her tough. They are calling her an anti-masker. They're now calling for her to get fired or to leave The Mandalorian because of something that she personally believes, which leads us to the question, is cancel culture getting too far? Is it to the point now where whenever these companies release a movie or show, they have to be careful, these actors and stuff, what they do outside of the show, because it could cost them their job.
God damn it. Her name is Cara Dune. Just FYI.
Flawless victory.
Damn it, Jorge.
Jorge, yeah.
Anyway, so there's a little more information with that as well. What happened was, for some reason, she was being pestered a lot to put her pronouns into Twitter, as is commonplace with a lot of celebrities nowadays, to speak up for LGBTQ, especially trans people. Mm-hmm. But, you know, she didn't understand it. So she had actually asked her co-star, Pedro, The Mandalorian, about what it means, and he explained it to her. She was like, oh, okay, so there is some significance to it. And she decided to play a joke about it and wrote beep boop bop as her pronouns. Now listen, it was a little playful and everything like that, but after hearing that what the significance of it was, then to make a joke out of it, it's a little callous. Yeah. But you know, to me, even with the anti-mask stuff, the election conspiracy stuff that she's posting, to me that more comes off as somebody that is an amateur to fame.
James Woods.
Like, I don't think that she's... I don't think she's...
She has ill intent.
I would also say that she doesn't have much more responsibility than the average person would.
Mm.
Like, if anybody on our friends list feed posted that type of stuff, we would roll our eyes. We might argue back and forth with them, but it wouldn't really change too much of our opinion about them, unless it started to get to the extreme. And I always have the feeling that unless it's hurting someone, calling for distress or calling for violence or not breaking any laws or anything like that, then you know what, even if I disagree with it, you know, you're welcome to post it. Like, up until it's starting to cross those levels, it's, you know, it's somebody carrying through with their thoughts. Is it a little irresponsible for somebody that is at her fame level to post that? Yeah. Do I think that, you know, you should be screaming to fire? No, I think you should vote with your own choices. We all know Chick-fil-A is very anti-LGBTQ with all the donations that they give to anti-LGBTQ.
You just messed it up. That's messed up. That's offensive, Bravo. You should have got the letters right. Boycott Bravo.
You have these people, and like, we know that Chick-fil-A donates to all of those programs and agencies, despite saying that they're not going to. So what I do is I don't support Chick-fil-A. I don't buy anything from them. If somebody says, hey, I'm going to go to Chick-fil-A, do you want anything? No, man, I don't agree with the stuff that they do. But I'm not also judging somebody if they go out and buy the chicken sandwich. All I can do is educate somebody on it and be like, yeah, like, you know, I would. Whereas opposed to someone like, oh, go ahead, Darnell.
Well, I was just going to say, James, let me throw this question to you. Like, I mean, do you think throughout time, now that it being 2020, like if all this stuff would have happened, like with Gina or whatever, 15 years ago, would people have cared as much? Do you see something going on in our culture where we're a lot more sensitive? I mean, you know, like it seems like back in the day, like you had All in the Family, you had very offensive shows, you had stuff that were really racially, you know, had a lot of racial jokes going on. Today, it wouldn't fly. Let's talk Tropic Thunder, Robert Downey Jr. If that was made today, and that was only, what, 7-8 years ago? If it was made today, it might have been.
Time is fast.
Yes, it is. But do you think that would get by today, or do you think there'd be an outcry? See, I would. What do you think about that?
I mean, for the most part, I don't think it would have garnered any big time publicity because nobody would have known. I mean, you have open acting with All in the Family. You see the show week after week after week. So you know what you're getting. Therefore, that's why you get the audience that you have. When you have actors and actresses, directors, whatever it is, portraying themselves in some sort of fashion through social media. You didn't have that before. You didn't really necessarily know a person's beliefs or morals, values or anything like that before the age of the internet and social media. So if anybody was a full-blown racist and yet they just went on going on about their job and they were pretty subliminal in what they were doing, and we know there would probably be a lot of people working in any facet of job just basically being subliminal in the shadows, hiding their racism. We worked in nightlife.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. So,
yeah. You know what I'm saying? So,
we definitely came across some shit.
Yeah. So we've seen that before, but you wouldn't necessarily know it unless they were explicably vocal about their beliefs and what they're doing. What has happened in the age of Trump has basically garnered a lot of people to speak their mind profusely about what they believe in. And there's been multiple conspiracies on one side. There's been multiple conspiracies on the other side. In her case, you know, she's been adamant about not only the COVID mask thing, and we get that. She's been also adamant about the election results and everything like that, touting the conspiracy, as we want to call it. And, you know, she still has to go to work every day with a Latino and Black co-star that she happens to work with every single day. And I believe there was one incident where Pedro had to do like a one-on-one intervention with her about how she vocalizes herself.
Right.
You know? And the thing is, she hasn't stopped what she's doing. I think they've pretty much given her free rein. We don't know the angle of it, of how they basically consulted her.
Right.
But they've had that talk. She still continues to do it. Now the viewing public through social media, a little bit different. They want her ass gone.
Yeah,
but you know what? Here's the thing, though. There are two distinct. First of all, one could argue that when you're talking Hollywood in general, you're talking the liberal party more or less. There's not too many people in Hollywood that is going to lean conservative. So if you don't have a liberal that perspective, if you come at it from the conservative aspect, you're already on your way to being ousted. It is how it is. I'm not saying what's right, what's wrong. It is, that's Hollywood, you know. Yeah. So ultimately, one could argue that Gina is probably very conservative. For that reason, now they're saying they don't want her to be in this role. Now, in the last episode of Mandalorian, you saw how the guy who was part of the New Alliance or the New Rebels,
The New Republic.
They kind of opened the door for her to leave the show if it goes that far. And I think how they did it was brilliant. They were like, you know what? They let her know, look, your whole damn family blew up on Alderaan.
That did look like an opening.
It was an opening for them. If ever they wanted to write her off the show, it'll make sense. Not like one day she's gone. I mean,
yeah.
Ultimately,
in the meantime, she's a supporting character with a backstory that we just got an inclination about in this past episode. Do we need to dive in anymore? This storyline isn't basically surrounding her. There's multiple planets and millions of galaxies that's been explored in the Star Wars universe. I don't think we have to go there, even though we could, because that's the basis of Star Wars, is that every character within the universe has a story, you know, right. But she doesn't, and she's not going to carry it.
I would also state that, Darnell, you brought up Amber Heard before. I would say that, you know, there's a vast difference between somebody like Gina, who, again, I feel she's just being very amateurish about being famous. Like, you can't be that outspoken about beliefs that are that way, like, when you're in the spotlight.
Right.
The difference between someone like her and Amber Heard, though,
who literally beats the shit out of her husband.
Amber Heard, shit on his bed.
She was extremely violent. She caused...
Had threesomes with Elon Musk.
Yeah, she caused a great person to lose a lot of money and run his name through the dirt. Meanwhile, she was the one that was the abuser, like, and all the proof has come out against her. Like, to me, someone like that is who when people should be having an outrage and a cry out for, hey, like, she should be fired. Like, not only are we not going to support whatever that she's in, but we're not going to support you as a studio or you as this if you hire her, because now we know where your values lie. And listen, at the end of the day, all of those companies, regardless of whatever they pump out, regardless of whatever feel good stuff that they want to do, it all comes down to money. If the money is bigger in one aspect, they're going to go with that. If the money is bigger in another aspect, they're going to go with it. They're going to say some stuff about, like, oh, you know, we really have to follow our heart and, like, you know, blah, blah, blah. And sometimes they'll make good choices that lose them a little bit money, but half the time they also do that because in the long run, it makes them more money.
Yeah.
So you're saying that's the situation where cancel culture is justified based on the evidence, based on what she did, the type of person she is. That makes sense, as opposed to cancel culture where them getting mad at the girl who plays Starfire on Teen Titans, because Starfire was never black. Even though she was an alien.
I don't understand the outrage to try to cancel something like that. To me,
that was dumb. Like, she did nothing wrong.
Yeah, at the end of the day, too, like, listen, artists are always going to have some freedoms. You know, we've talked about this multiple times. Unless something is very, very, like, intrinsic to that character's being, like, Miles Morales has to be a black Latino. Like, he has to be. That's who his character is based around. But at the end of the day, like, if somebody did, we're going to make a new, Batman, he's still going to be rich. He's still going to, like, his family story is all going to be the same, but now he's going to be Asian. Like, what does it really change that much?
There was
it
a really Japanese Spider-Man
anything to his story. Magneto has to be a Holocaust survivor. It explains why, like, He is the way that he is, his what he's been through, and what shapes the character that he's in. Professor X doesn't need to be a white guy. He doesn't even need to be bald.
It's funny you say that, Bravo, because they're actually talking about Giancarlo, the guy who plays
Giancarlo Esposito.
They said he might actually end up being Magneto, but like you said, they would have to totally rewrite his history, make it more of a civil rights thing, which would be, now, like, if that happens, let's say, would you be upset at that?
To me, that's changing an entire story. To me, at that point, if you're tweaking it that much, why not make it a different story? Like, the composing or the competing arguments of Magneto and Professor X are nothing new. Like, even in our own reality, and if you're going to go with civil rights stuff, guess what? That's what X-Men is based off of, is the civil rights between Malcolm X and Dr. Martin Luther King's methods of trying to integrate into the public, like in a matter. And one is, no, you know what? We need to be the ones that are on top. We need to be the ones that are oppressors. And the other one is, no, like, we need to integrate peacefully so that there's unity and equality for everyone. Like, if you're going to change it that much where you have to make Giancarlo's Magneto's background story about the civil rights movement, then it should just be a different story at that point.
Like, call him the lineman? Call them the Y-Men, not the X-Men. Just change a letter here and there.
They own all that stuff. What difference would it really make if they just literally didn't, if they just gave it a different name? What difference would it make?
Right.
But
if you're focusing, if you're focusing just on the ideologies and the ideologies basically being based on those two characters, you could just do a primary switch.
Yeah.
You know,
there, there's a reason that in Avatar, his character, amazing show, the blue cat things. there's a reason that the main character isn't named Pocahontas. But guess what? Pocahontas, Dancing with Wolves, and Avatar, they're all the same fucking movie.
It's true.
I mean, and see, that's where it gets tricky, because whenever you look at the original work, whether it's like, and let's talk about animation, remember they did Death Note. Obviously in Death Note, it was based on Japanese characters, but when they brought it to Netflix, they changed the characters all around. Now, aside from the fact that it kind of sucked, aside from Ryuk, who was pretty damn good, people were upset at that. You know, that was a good early example of people saying, we're not going to watch it, you know, early cancel culture in action, because it didn't follow something that they remember. You know what I mean? So again, let me just put the question out there. When is cancel culture gone too far? Like, now that we have a voice with social media, should we kind of keep to ourselves and just like wait till they put the product out, you know, or people just...
A lot of people forget that, like, listen, everybody has an opinion out there and everybody does think differently. I don't agree with anything that Gina Carano was saying, but you know what? Again, even though I don't agree with it, unless she's posting for, hey, we need to have a civil war out there or anything like that, like, or no, you can't wear, you're wearing a mask, you're an asshole for wearing it, unless she's doing that type of stuff, then I have a problem with it. But I don't agree with anything that she's saying, but I'm not calling for her to lose her job or anything like that. All it makes me do is roll my eyes and think a little less about who she is as a person rather than the result. But with the cancel culture stuff, we need to, you know, understand everybody does have a voice and some people are a little louder than others.
Yeah.
But it doesn't make it right, regardless of whatever you believe your morality to be either.
Well, it's funny. We mentioned before, Animaniacs now is under fire because in an episode, Yakko is in front of a poster, movie poster with Johnny Depp, and it's below it, Telling Lies. And people are now canceling their Hulu membership because they're saying, oh, they support Amber Heard. You know, they took a slippery slope and took it to the utmost conclusion that, right, oh, is very pro Amber Heard, when it was probably just people writing a joke that they didn't even connect. So again, this is another example of when it's just going too far. Like, all right, guys, calm down. It's not that much. It's not that bad. You know, I don't know. Like I said, I think at this point, we just have to be careful not to pollute and change the projects that people are working on because we want things a certain way.
Well, I think you just got to treat everything on a case by case basis. You know what I'm saying? If you're not looking at things individually, if you're not taking in the context, just attacking a narrative thought with an initial reaction, you're not taking the time to actually like think about it and construct the conversation to actually like resolve any type of conflict. So like, to put it forward, when you see the Animaniacs thing, Animaniacs has had one episode since it came out. It probably right now, if you go Google it right now, Animaniacs reviews, there's 5 negative reviews, all by major publications. You know what I'm saying? Like people haven't even had the time to go through the full body of work of watching the brilliant show that we grew up as kids to watch. But when it's enacted on a lot of Gen Z's that are growing up as little kids and everything like that, the people writing the stories are not even taking into effect that the audience hasn't even predicted a verdict yet.
But this is a spoiled generation. Like this generation, all due respect, is not like the generation that we had growing up where we could laugh at stuff like that. Now everyone's like, oh, did you hear what they said? That's not right. Yeah. Oh, come on, they can't say that. Back when we were younger, we weren't really like that. We were like, oh, that's messed up, but it's funny. But nowadays, people will be quick to go on social media and say, I can't believe Animaniacs made that joke, blah, 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 blah. And again, this is the cons, I think, to the cancel culture generation. You know what I mean? So I
feel that, you know, humor is one of those things where,
gotcha, bitch.
It's kind of an all or nothing thing. You know, again, as long as you're not calling for violence or, you know, dehumanizing people or anything like that, then there's a difference. Like, there's always been dark humor. There's always been racist humor. But it's always been also.
Did you mean dark humor like black humor? That's messed up, Bravo.
No, I meant dark humor.
Cancel Bravo! Cancel Bravo!
Dark humor like.
Light skin humor for James.
There's always that type of stuff.
One joke per episode. That's why. That's my quota. Okay.
The show has ended.
All right, guys. Party nerds. We are out. Abruptly.
This is my impression of Darnell.
Oh!